Isn't it sad that in many situations today, young people seem to be valued more than older people? This has come time and time again from reports that we hear about hospitals and residential homes. If a person has reached a certain age, then it would appear that the National Health Service does not want to know much about them. Older people are not getting the treatment that they deserve or are entitled to. Also in the workplace, in certain companies, there's a limited number of years that a person is considered useful. You can be too old for a certain job at 50. And those who are unemployed at 50 find it almost impossible to get a job. More and more people seem to be retiring younger. But you know, the lovely thing about it is that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're never too old and you're never too young for Jesus to use you. And the most exciting thing about anyone is that whenever we are used by God, He can use us in each and every situation. A few years ago, I had the happy experience of baptizing a young teenage girl who was 18, coming 19. She came from a home where she was not allowed to speak about God. She was not allowed to speak about Jesus Christ. She was not allowed to speak about the church. Her father flew into a rage. If anything religious was talked about or the Bible was seen in the home. She was a lovely Christian girl. And one Sunday morning when the radio and the Sunday morning service came from Dungannon, where members of the Royal School took part, this girl spoke clearly of her faith in Jesus Christ over the airways. Today she is married and she's working as a missionary. Some time ago I visited regularly a hospital, a lady who was 92 years of age. And do you know what she wanted to talk about when I visited her? Not about the weather, not about politics. She wanted to talk about Jesus. She wanted to sing hymns. Mind you, I couldn't sing for her in hospital. She wanted to read the Psalms. And do you know what? She was disappointed whenever she got better and went home. Because she wanted to go to be with Jesus. You know, we can learn from each other. The older Christians and those who have been saved for many years can learn from the young Christians their enthusiasm, their freshness, their honesty in the prayer meeting. And young Christians can learn from the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience of the older Christians. And so today, for a short time, I want us to think about a man in the Bible, and we'll call him one of God's senior saints. His name was Caleb. I want us to see today that here was a man who made his mark for God, not only for his own generation, but for the generations to come. And first of all, we can say that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly when so many in his day were following half-heartedly. In that passage in Joshua chapter 14, we find time and time again the word for Caleb wholeheartedly. That was his devotion to the Lord. He was wholehearted in his devotion to the Lord. Six times in that chapter we are told that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholehearted means that you are you're committed to following God, even going against the flow. All 12 spies were leaders of their tribes, but 10 became afraid and only 2 stood for God against the majority. The majority doesn't like it whenever you stand against their way. Our culture talks tolerance, but they have no tolerance towards Christianity. We hear that time and time again in radio and in other occasions. Do you think that Caleb suffered scorn from those who were going to the promised land with him? Wholeheartedly means that you are able to accept the sovereign choice of God. Back in Numbers 13 and 30, it was Caleb who took the lead in trying to convince Israel that they should go and they should conquer the promised land, the land that was promised them. Now I want to ask you this morning, are you following the Lord wholeheartedly? Or are you following the Lord half-heartedly? I believe that the word wholeheartedly is sadly missing from much of Christianity today. I meet people and have great enthusiasm for work, they have great enthusiasm for money, they have great enthusiasm for sport and for football and for the Olympic Games. And just this morning as I was coming to church, the Land Rover pulled out just in front, and here behind the Land Rover was a speedboat, obviously preparing their way to go to the seaside. No thought about God, no thought about church. They have a great passion for so many things, but have no passion and have no enthusiasm about being wholehearted in their devotion to the Lord. Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, that was all right for Caleb. He maybe didn't have the problems that I face. He didn't have to endure the loneliness that I have to endure. Well, let me tell you about Caleb that we find in Joshua 14. You remember how when the nation of Israel neared the promised land, Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land. They discovered it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They discovered that the clusters of grape were vast and it took 2 men to carry them. But sadly, 10 out of the 12 came back and said, yes, the land is great, but there are many giants in that land and we cannot conquer it. And only 2 said that in the power of the Lord they could conquer the land. And those 2 were Caleb and Joshua. And because of their unbelief, God's people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So do you see what I am saying? For 40 years, this man, Caleb, had lived among a people who were unbelieving. For 40 years, he lived among a people who were backsliding, a people who were rebellious, a people who were discouraged. And the remarkable thing is that Caleb continued to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He kept on walking with him, talking with him, worshiping him, loving him, listening to him, trying to learn what pleased the Lord during all that time. He kept wanting what God wanted, willing what God willed, and continued into old age. And so he wanted to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb never gave up in the pursuit of God. And that's what kept his heart young. How striking are the last lines of David Livingstone when he penned the night that his sons found him dead on his knees beside his bed in an attitude of prayer, a candle burning beside him. He said, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all, to thee again I dedicate myself. He never gave up. Every day was another day to grow. The psalmist said, this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. It's especially important to remember this truth as we grow older. We tend to lose heart as we age. Very few motivators are captive from operating in. Our physical strength abates, our health deteriorates, our memory gets cloudy. I pray that God will give us more Calebs in our church today, men and women who are wholehearted in their service for the Lord. But sad to say, so many start well, but they do not finish well. After 40 years of living among a rebellious people, Caleb continued to wholeheartedly serve the Lord. That is the first thing we can say about this remarkable man. But the second thing we can say is that Caleb looked at God's promises while others looked at the problems. Caleb looked at God's promises while others looked at the problems. The Lord had given Caleb a promise, and that promise is found in Numbers 14 and 24. Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. You remember how Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 spies went into the land, and the 10 of them looked around and they saw the problems. They saw the giants. But Caleb saw the promises of God. The 10 who were full of unbelief, they looked around and they saw great fortified cities. But Caleb looked around and he saw the promises of God. When others saw giant problems, Caleb saw God's promises. And maybe that applies to someone here this morning. Perhaps you're thinking, if you profess faith in Christ at work or at home, like that girl, teenage girl that I knew, or in the district, you'd be laughed at, you'd be criticized. If you stood up for Christ in your home, you would have a hard time. And all the time we're looking at the problems. And we need to look beyond the problems and look at God's promises. Because the Bible says God desires all men, all women, all boys, all girls to be saved. Are we looking today at the giant problems, or are we looking at God's promises? Perhaps you're having a hard time as a Sunday school teacher, or a BB leader, or a GB leader. Some time ago, I heard of a CE society where the leader was getting things so difficult with rowdy children that he went home with the thought in mind of leaving. He could no longer cope with the situation. But he and his wife prayed about the situation and decided to enlist the prayer support of faithful church members that they could trust, that they would pray for these children by name. And so each person was given two or three names to pray for. And within a very short time, things changed dramatically. And some of those children professed faith in Jesus Christ. Ah, yes. See what happens whenever we pray. See what happens whenever we lay hold on God's promises. God has promised, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you have a problem in your life, and very few people know about that problem. And it is so vast, it is so awesome that you cannot get it away from your mind. And every time you lay your head on the pillow at night, it's there, comes before you. And every time you rise in the morning, it's there before you. And every time you pray, it's there before you. And you're obsessed by this problem. And all the time you are looking at the giant problems. But maybe God wants you to look beyond your problems to the promises of God. What is it God says in Romans 8 and 31? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Don't look at the giant problems you might have, but look beyond them. Look up and look for the God's promises. But you know, it was 45 years since God made this promise to Caleb, and he would inherit this region of the promised land. Wholehearted means that you are eager to act upon God's promises. And the thing that kept Caleb going for 45 years was that he never doubted the integrity of God and of his word. He is now 85 years of age. He should feel like giving up, surely. But no, he is still anxious to go into battle and claim what God had promised him. And the facts seem to be going against Caleb. Can you see at least three reasons why he wouldn't want to make the fight? He was now 85 years of age. It was hill country that he wanted to claim. And there were giants in that part of the land. But Canaan conquerors don't let human facts cancel God's promises. And in the Old Testament, we read how against all hope, Abraham believed that Isaac would be born. Could it be that the church stays in the valley instead of going to the mountain where we belong? Because we worship a little God with little promises. Caleb worshipped a big God and followed him up the mountain. Joshua 14 and 10 says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time that he said this to Moses." Caleb was saying to the Lord, "Lord, you made a promise. You made it 45 years ago, and I haven't seen it fulfilled yet." Those of us who are parents can identify with making promises to our children. "I promise I will do this or do that. I promise I'll take you to the swimming pool. I promise I'll take you to see some big game." And maybe you forget about it. And then they come along and they say to you, "Daddy, Mommy, you promised." And we had forgotten all about it. But the old hymn says, "Standing on the promises of God that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I will prevail, standing on the promises of God." Ah, yes. Have you ever reminded God of his promises and trusted God to keep them? "You gave me a promise, and that promise hasn't been fulfilled yet in my life." Take the promises of God to him in prayer. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly when so many were following half-heartedly. He looked at God's promises when others were looking at the problems. But then thirdly, Caleb asked to conquer mountains when others asked for the comfortable valleys. Caleb asked to conquer mountains when others asked for the comfortable valleys. Joshua's people in Joshua 14 were coming from into the promised land. The promised land was being divided up among them. And Joshua 14 and 12, Caleb says, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." Think of it. He was now 85 years of age, and he says, "Give me this mountain." A mountain controlled by warriors and by giants. He wasn't taking life easy. By the time that most of us are 85 years of age, we've been retired for 20 years. But Caleb was 85 years of age, and he was still on fire for God. Wholeheartedly means that willingness to tackle tough situations. Anakites were giants, but that is the land that Caleb wanted. The same land that he had spied out 40 years before, that he had struck terror in the heart of the other spies. Caleb refused to suffer from the grasshopper complex, magnifying the adversary and minimizing God. Whereas Caleb didn't minimize the difficulties, but he magnified his God. In Joshua 15, 13 to 17, Caleb did what most did not do. He drove out the Canaanites. Many of the rest of them stayed with them, and they compromised with them. The man with most difficult inheritance to claim was the one who totally claimed it. And you know, the sad situation is today that many Christians want to compromise. They just want to live a comfortable life. They don't want to disturb the situation. And so we find that Christian men and women are compromising their faith in our society. But what we need today is men and women who will stand up and be like Caleb. Caleb drove out the enemy. And that is what we need today. We need men and women who will stand up for their faith, and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. When giants stand today against the church, it is not because God's promises has failed or God's arm is short. It is because that we have surrendered enough to God. The lovely thing about Caleb was that he was not only started well, but he finished well. And I know many people, and they have started well, and it's wonderful to see young teenagers in fire for God, and it's so important that they start well. But where are they in middle years? Where are they whenever they get married and have a children? Where are they whenever they get older? Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." I wonder, is there someone facing a mountain? Maybe it's a mountain of debt. Maybe it's a mountain in your family life. Maybe it's a mountain of guilt. Maybe it's a mountain of worry. Maybe it's a mountain of sin. And you know Jesus Christ can conquer that mountain if only you will hand your life and your situation over to him. Why did Caleb ask for this mountain? It was not for himself. He wanted to give it as an inheritance to his daughter and to his son-in-law. Isn't that incredible? The blessing of God from Caleb's life overflowed to the next generation. And so parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and youth leaders, what are you leaving for the next generation? Oh yes, we can leave them an inheritance. We can leave them a lot of poverty. We can leave them a lot of money. But are we leaving them hungry for the Word of God? Are we leaving them hungry to know God? Caleb made his mark for God, not only for his generation, but also he made his mark for God in the next generation as well. When we think of Caleb, we also think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one day Jesus faced a mountain. It wasn't called Hebron, it was called Calvary. And Jesus went to Calvary not for any sin in his life, but because of the sin in our lives. And there he died on the cross. And when Satan and hell thought that they had conquered him, he was really winning a great victory. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John agree together that Judas Iscariot did not have a whole heart towards God, but towards Jesus. Therefore, it's safe to say that Judas did not receive God's future for him. If Judas had indeed been a friend of Jesus, then Judas would have earned the reputation of Peter or Matthew or Paul. That would have been God's future for someone who wholeheartedly served him. But Judas did not receive God's future, but he made his own future. He went out and hanged himself and went to a lost eternity. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly when so many followed half-heartedly. Can you identify your life with Caleb? He looked at God's promises when others looked at giant problems. Are there problems in your life? Then take them to God. Caleb asked to conquer mountains when others asked for comfortable valleys. What mountain are you facing? With God's help, you can be victorious. Not only did Caleb start well, but he also finished well. Are you wholeheartedly serving the Lord? Are you looking at the giant difficulties or at God's promises? Are you asking for the mountains or the comfortable valleys? Paul was able to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Again, he said, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" We can be free from defeat because Christ lives in us by his Spirit. We are free from fear because Christ intercedes for us and we cannot separate from his love. No condemnation, no obligation, no frustration, no separation. The world promises us pleasure. The world promises us happiness. The world promises us fame. But what can I offer to overcome the trials of life? As the saying goes, laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone. But for the Christian, God has promised victory in the hour of need. He has promised his never failing love. He has promised forgiveness of sins. He has promised to supply our needs. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't travel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what all our powers cannot do. Does God want you this morning to be faithful to him? Don't look at the problems. Look beyond them. Look at the promises and the faithfulness of God. Listen to the words of the psalmist. I have set the Lord always before me. There's no better person. I have set the Lord. No better place before me. And no better plan. Always before me. And as we seek to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, we will overcome every difficulty. We will know the strength of every situation. And even like Caleb, who for 40 years fought against rebellion and disloyalty by the children of Israel, God was with him, and he overcame. What about you today? Are you wholeheartedly serving the Lord? Yes, so often we can get careless. I visit home after home. They miss one Sunday. They miss another Sunday. Then eventually it's a month. Eventually it's a year. And so on. Yet with all they tell me that their faith is strong and their faith means much to them. How can this be? We need to meet together with one another. May we therefore set the Lord always before us and go forward following the Lord wholeheartedly in the days to come. As the hymn writer puts it, courage, friend, do not stumble, though your path be dark as night. Yes, no matter what difficult situation you face, let us go forward with the Lord and surrender all to him. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Caleb was someone who served the Lord wholeheartedly. And may we in these days want to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. No matter what situation we face, no matter what problems we face, no matter what difficulties we face, that we will know the Lord is with us. And that we will seek to be faithful to him and follow him. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.